The X-Zone Radio Show with Rob McConnell is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X-Zone Radio Show or endorsed in any manner by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, the X-Zone Broadcast Network, its affiliated networks, stations, employees, or advertisers.
All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
And good evening, one and all. This is the X-Zone. I am Rob McConnell. We're coming to you from our broadcast center and studios in Crystal Beach, Ontario, Canada. If you'd like to send us an email, xzone at xzoneradiotv.com on all social media sites, X-Zone Radio TV. And to find out about the programming we have available for you 24/7, 365 on the X-Zone Broadcast Network, visit www.xzbn.net. And for the X-Zone TV channel on Simul TV, visit the brand new website for Simul TV at www.simultv.com. My guest this hour is a gentleman I had the pleasure of interviewing many years ago. His name is Keith Anthony Blanchard, and he is the author of the new book, Homecoming, Crossing the Bridge to the Soul. Now, this is his sixth book. It's coming out on July 31st of this year. And he is a man who is claimed to have developed intense alien visitation and communication that has profoundly affected his life and his view of the world. Keith Anthony Blanchard was born in 1963 in Louisiana and had a typical middle-class Catholic upbringing. In his early teens, he often entertained himself by pondering the big questions about God and the universe. Now, little did he know that the day would come when those questions would form the spiritual foundation upon which he would build the rest of his life. In his late 20s, Keith went through a crisis that stripped him of everything that he held dear and left him with no choice but to turn inward for answers. This he did, but the peace and stability he so wanted still eluded him. When he was 32, celestial beings began to appear to him, sharing glimpses of the future and the worlds. Now, not only did they enlighten and guide him, they instructed him to pass their message on to others so that they too could learn a higher way of living. Now 50 and living in a peaceful, stable life, Keith continues to pursue his passion to both learn and teach about the truth. His credo is very simple and yet very profound. Why choose to believe when you can know? His website, KeithAnthonyBlanchard.com. Joining me now from the beautiful state of Tennessee is Keith Anthony Blanchard. And Keith, welcome back to the X-Zone after all of these years.
Wow. Thank you, Rob, for having me. Listening to you read that bio, I don't know that guy anymore. I don't. It's me, but I graduated, or to use the word, into this new space, this new way of being. Mm-hmm. But as I just simply launch myself back to that time, it's almost a blur.
Really?
Yeah. And I remember the powerful lesson inherent in all of it. 10-year relationship went belly up.
Ooh.
No joke. I was 14, 15 years old and seriously wanted to be a Catholic priest.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew me, you'd find that funny. But the girl came along, being a rock guitar player. I was in a rock band. That's what I do as a profession.
Right.
God went in the closet. Catholicism went in the closet. And when I got that knock on the head / heart, I had to go back to the closet. And things begin to rearrange themselves. And so I find myself here now as a spiritual teacher, being an author and a musician full time is what I truly love. And what I love mostly in this moment is hanging out with you.
You know, you and I have a lot in common, as you were just talking. I wanted to be an Anglican minister at the age of 14. I, too, played in a rock and roll band for a number of years. So it seems that you and I share the same path to a certain extent, my friend.
What instrument did you play?
I played rhythm guitar, and going back to the 60s, I played folk music in Montreal. I played at the Yellow Door. I played at the Maidenhead. I played at the Cock and Bull. I played with Gordon Lightfoot.
Dig that.
Yeah.
Sundown, you better take care.
Hey, that's it. Let's forget the paranormal stuff. Let's just get to music. No, in my later years, I had the opportunity of working with B.J. Thomas. I've worked with Peter Noon, Brighton Rock, April Wine, and the list goes on.
April Wine?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Nature of the Beast. Heart of Faster is really cool as well.
And it was pretty funny when I was at CKTB in St. Catharines, I was covering one of the events, and I ended up working with Blue Rodeo and ran into Kim Mitchell. So it seems that music has always been a part of my life. And the very first rock band I played in was the Cellbeat. And that was one of the very first Beatle clone bands in Quebec.
Did that?
Yeah. I still have my Vox amplifier.
Do you still play?
Very little. I don't have time anymore. Mm. But, I still have my Jet Glow Rickenbacker 64 Special Edition.
Oh, now you need to quit it.
It seems that music is a great part of people who are touched in the way that you have been touched and the way that I have been touched. It seems that music is the conduit.
Because we conduit.
That's right.
Music is the language. It's the language of everything. So yeah. I have lots of little trinkets to exemplify points, which one is...
And in this corner, weighing 265 pounds from the state of Tennessee, is Keith Anthony Blanchard.
And so as this bell was rung, there's something that happens in that, Rob, for me. The music is more of the empty space than it is the actual music. Without empty space, things become a very long drone. And there's a famous, there is a Chinese proverb that says, it's the empty space between the bars that holds the tiger. So in this truth, possibility, we get to glean, see from another perspective, because obviously we would lean into the idea, what's the bars that hold the tiger in the cage? Well, actually it's not. You spread the bars apart, the tiger can effortlessly just move right through. But in that bell I rang, and my apologies if it was so loud on you. When we follow such a sound current, musicians, artists, whatever it is you do that is of a creative nature, where do these people, what about this 15-year-old girl when she was 10 years old? She's painting these pictures of the Christ. Oh, my God. And so I think people who are in the creative side of the brain naturally are able to follow that note. I struck like the soul's tines that bring us to a space so far inside that all things seriously are truly are just possible.
I agree with you, my friend. I think John Lennon said it best, when he and McCartney wrote All You Need Is Love, there's nothing you can do that can't be done. There's nothing you can sing that can't be sung.
Yeah, right.
He was just laying down the tracks. And I think if we look over time, musicians were the catalyst of each and every new age that has been done. Look what happened in the 60s. Peace, make love, not war. Woodstock, you had thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people in Woodstock, New York.
And Rob, wasn't there a virus or some sort of pandemic happening at the time? And this actually took place anyway?
I really can't remember that far back.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Were you at Woodstock?
No, I wasn't. When Woodstock, I was born in 52, so what am I, 68 now? And that Woodstock, I think it was about 10 or 11. That Woodstock was what, 65? I think it was the summer of
67?
67 now. Okay.
I'm not sure.
Even at 67, what was I, 15? And I can remember I was on the train to Baltimore, Maryland from Montreal to see my aunt and uncle with my mom and younger brother when Woodstock was going on. And it's funny you mentioned Woodstock. I have one of the original posters from Woodstock autographed by a whole bunch of people. I've got a panoramic photo of Woodstock and one of the original tickets to Woodstock framed in my office here in the studios.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that would, that in and of itself would make your office a shrine.
You know, it also makes me very old, my friend.
Right. I'm having a blast. Thank you, sir.
Well, this is what life is about. You're you know, a friend of mine in Montreal said, you know what, Rob? You're here for a good time, not for a long time.
Ooh. Inherent to that, and that is everything. That's powerful.
It is, and Gus Ackerman is his name, and a very kind soul, and the people that you meet in your life, whether it's like you and I here on the telephone, whether it's we meet in person, whether it's on an internet chat platform, each and every person that you meet and greet brings something very special to your life. And I think that it's through people like yourself who have the ability to bring this to the attention of your readers and those that you play music for, they make the difference. They say, hey, wait a minute, this guy's onto something. Stay tuned, Keith. You and I have to take our first break. Exo Nation, Keith Anthony Blanchard is our special guest. His website is keithanthonyblanchard.com. And we're going to be talking about his new book, Homecoming, Crossing the Bridge to the Soul. I'm Rob McConnell. This is The X-Zone, a place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. It's a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. And both of us will be back on the other side of this break. Don't go away. Welcome back, everyone. This is The X-Zone. I am Rob McConnell. If you'd like to find out more about the X-Zone Broadcast Network and the shows that we have available for you 24/7, 365, visit www.xzbn.net. Keith Anthony Blanchard is my special guest this hour. His website is keithanthonyblanchard.com. Listen, let me ask you, when or what do you attribute your contact with ETs? Was there something that happened in your life that, that may have opened up the direct line of communication from yourself to them, inviting them in, or how do you think this worked?
I think for me, it was a contract. At least, the whole experience for me was a contract.
Right.
But the first part of my life, I was 8 years old, 9 years old, raised Catholic, believing in all the boogeymen, whatever could be lurking in the dark backyard. No child wants to be out at 2:30 or 3 in the morning, especially coupled with the fear of big dogs. And they move freely in my neighborhood, let me tell you. But I would often, Rob, find myself in the backyard, coming to a state of awareness,
right,
looking up at the sky. Now, the first experience that happened, I will say now, I was never taken beyond my will. I was never violated. I never came to a state of consciousness feeling raped, invaded, violated, none of that. There was some dumbfoundedness. But the first night, thank God it was, from what I remember, a moonlit night, starry night. There was some sort of light, so I can look around the house to find something to be tall enough to put myself back into my bedroom. So I found this cinder block and I propped it against the wall to lunge myself through my window. And this would occur often. There was nothing, it was all random. It wouldn't happen in particular sequence. Well, I go through the early phases of my life in adolescence, playing guitar, wanting to become a Catholic priest. And that all went to the closet, met the girl, wanted to be the rock star.
Uh-huh.
Got the girl, was a rock star, and when that all went belly up, I had nothing. She was my love. She was my sex. She was my intimacy. She was my food, my shelter, my transportation. I'm an aspiring musician, so I'm basically taking what's coming my way. That all went away, and so I went back to the closet, and I pulled out an old ancient memory, which is my connection to that, which is beyond anything any of us can understand in our current frame of reference. But I think my earlier experiences When I was about the age of 33, I'm watching the Discovery program channel, a program about aliens, and it all came flooding back. The who's, the when, the whys, and the where's. I believe this early contact in my life was a contractual agreement, lovingly, thank God, that they came to me, still do, but at the earlier phase of my life, was to manipulate my energetic system, not only necessarily to impregnate me with thoughts that would, and with these packets of light and information that later in my life, possibly 33 when I saw that Discovery Channel program, but to manipulate my energetic system, to have me come into a state of some sort of balance to be able to do the work that I'm doing now via 30 years of my life compressed into this book, Homecoming, Crossing the Bridge to the Soul, which is soon to be released.
Describe the aliens, if you could, for us.
Every shape, size, guys. mostly, my time with what I call others. Mm-hmm. They're aboard these craft. I'm no joke, it's children. There are the elders or the wise ones, but it's predominantly children. There's enough quote, as we'd call them, adults, to handle the whatever word you choose, to maintain balance aboard these craft. But it's most of the occupants are children, as if it's the children that it's all about. Now, what these beings look like, you know, the further you get into the universe, not solar system and galaxy, the further you get from what we know as local space, the more stranger these beings will look in as far as appearance. Of course, the people who live in your country look like you, and the people who live in your state and so forth, your household, and as so on it goes. But they vary in appearances. But the ones that I've been fortunate to be in space with, always have a humanoid quality. They are bipedal, and some have six digits on hands and foot. But what happens when you aboard these craft? The first thing that happens is, oh my gosh, I'm in a spaceship, or I'm in another place, and there are others. That's why I call them others. And so the first thing that begins to happen is, oh wow, that is someone that doesn't look like me. That's someone that sort of looks like me, but not is of my kind. But after moments of being in this, pun intended, no pun intended, space with these others, all that begins to disappear, because there's a language, here we go back to the music again, there's a language that is spoken that can be heard only by those who choose to listen. And the language is, it's the nature of those very children, the curiosity, the wonderment, the awe, the innocence. What a powerful word that inherits, as in incorporates all those qualities I've named. But there is a signature of why all this is happening. It's the youthful, the innocence. And so the appearances begin to fade, and the commonality that I have with these others, though they may differ in appearance, it's beautiful to see different expressions of Creator. But it's even more beautiful to see the Creator in everyone as it is.
So when it comes to the ETs, the extraterrestrials, are they part of the UFO phenomenon that we know today? And if so, why don't they just make their presence known for once and for all?
Fantastic question. They are here. They do make their presence known. And not only do the ETs and craft make their presence known, most people get so caught up in the UFO hoopla phenomena that they never take the time to ask themselves the question, who is actually piloting that craft? They are interested in the hardware. I'm interested in the software.
Sure.
But if we look to, let's say, YouTube or anywhere that you can find such videos, there is an experience that once I'm using this as an example, because you will say, I've seen many of those. When we look at the dome over the, what is it, the place in the Jerusalem, the dome, the rock?
Temple of the Mount?
Temple of the Mount. You see this thing come down. Some of my friends are actually the ones who are responsible for this video existing. And so when you see this orb of light come down, this is not a craft. This is not a ship. This is a sentient conscious being that comes down and hovers over this particular sacred site, and then it shoots back up like lightning into this craft. Because when you look to the sky, or at least when the video looks to the sky, you see all these red lights glowing as if there's some sort of large mother ship. So they definitely are here. And what was the second part of your question, Rob?
I said, why don't they just make themselves known?
Because they can't.
Why?
Because they can't. Because they can't. They cannot flout universal law because their level of intelligence tells them that they cannot, because they know that in doing so, the very growth of their very own civilization will begin to move backwards. That's not their agenda. Their agenda is to contribute to the level that universal law allows, because they want every sentient conscious being in this universe, levels we think exist, levels we know exist, even for spiritualists who can operate on multidimensional levels, on levels even that we can't, beings that want to be a part of this experience. They know that they are going to grow as we ascend to this new world, this new humanity, the golden age. And so every being in the universe can aspire to humanhood, but it is only through human birth that the absolute, the pinnacle of creation, which is the human being, can ever be realized. So they know not to monkey where they can't. Now we have these other beings, of course, however you want to paint them, bad aliens, draconians, reptilians, demons spoken about in many scripture. And so they just can't. You can bet, well, the demons will make themselves known. That's why we know about them now, because they've impregnated, infiltrated, become a pest, so to speak, in the human mansion of everything that is meant to be. So these others are simply just waiting to get the clarion call and the go sign.
Are these ETs the gods of the past?
Yeah, and I think that still exists today, because everyone is looking upward. Where's God? Upward. Metaphorically upward. Everything big and monumental and powerful that happens seems to always happen upward in some way. Mm-hmm. You go to New York. New York is known for its majesty, the big apple, the Garden of Eden. And when newcomers go to New York, what do? They look upward.
Well, that's because you can't see through the ground. You know, right. Listen, you and I have to take our news break at the bottom of the hour. Next on Nation, Keith Anthony Blanchard is our special guest this hour. We're going to be talking to Keith continuous on this line of conversation. About his new book entitled Homecoming, Crossing the Bridge to the Soul. Once again, his website is www.keithanthonyblanchard.com. This is the X-Zone. I am Rob McConnell. We're coming to you from our broadcast center and studios in Crystal Beach, Ontario, Canada. If you'd like to send me an email, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com. On all social media sites, X-Zone Radio TV. And to find out about the programming we have available for you 24/7, 365 on the X-Zone Broadcast Network, visit xzbn.net. Welcome back, one and all. This is the X-Zone. I am Rob McConnell. X-Zone@xzoneradiotv.com is my email address. And my guest this hour is Keith Anthony Blanchard, and his website is keithanthonyblanchard.com. All right, let's take this one step up. If the ETs are the gods of yesteryear that we have, in one way or another, modeled our sociological platforms and our sociological way of thinking and living. Why are we such a violent society? Now, I understand that there's the universal clause where they cannot interfere with us. But why wouldn't they have done a better job of teaching us instead of having this world that we live in today that is in total turmoil?
Phenomenal, Rob. Phenomenal. It's the same law. They can't skirt the same law. This is the same law. There's no way around it. They understand the law of free will. They understand the law of allowance. So why did they do such a bad job? Well, we are made up of between 7 and 9 different races from wherever around the galaxy, RNA, DNA coding. And so basically, they birthed us and kicked us out of the nest and said, good luck. Now, we look to the Anunnaki story.
Yeah.
Which does not paint such a good picture. You had a good bro and a bad bro. Yeah. These two bros had a father who was a king and da da da. And so the agenda was to make us a slave race. And so little did they realize in the creation of making this race with the intentions of being a slave race, it backfired because we threw these two brothers or whatever the story is, whether it's metaphorical or real, the divine intent was seated in that moment because we went through all the knuckleheaded nonsense, which was to be the slave race, to come to this place that we call 2020. In fact, today's date is June 18th, 2020. We find ourselves present in this spot to become the manifestation of the prophecy of heaven on earth. And so that's why we are being supported by these others, but they still cannot tread on the sacred ground until it's time, until they're given the go sign. So what is that time going to look like? The time is going, it's coming. Everyone is tired of the nonsense. People are waking up. The time is going to come when it becomes 51% of the human collective consciousness shifting to the level of saying, please appear. Until then, it cannot happen.
Why not?
They won't do it. They just simply won't do it.
But
know the law.
If they did, every law has a little bit of leeway. If their presence could actually change the way that we perceive ourselves and our place in this existence, this cosmos, the universe, for the better, would it be not advantageous for them to make themselves known?
They are. They're doing it in ways that those who are ready are able to see. Otherwise, their entrance would serve absolutely no purpose, because too many people would be afraid, and we would never get to the 51% human consciousness shift tilt mark. So there's an order in the way things are played out. Say, let's just give you a gun and a badge and a hat and this cool looking uniform and call you a cop. But it doesn't work that way. Everyone has to play the game accordingly so that the most influential, best possibility can be the outcome.
Okay. I can buy that to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But I'm a father. You're a father. Our children are our creation. We will do whatever we need to do in order to try our very best to have our children become law-abiding citizens, fruitful members of society, people who do good for other people. And when we see them straying, we do everything we can to get them back on track. Now, if these ETs are responsible for our being here, and they're watching us, and they're not taking affirmative action into getting us to a better place because they're waiting for 51% of the population, in my opinion, that's not very good. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
So why don't they just... Or why don't they just do it? Or is it because 51% of the world's population, in my opinion, will never agree on anything?
I totally understand it, and totally. And that's a pretty phenomenal point, Rob. Actually, I'm somewhat befuddled. But what I would like to offer as my counter to that, not counter, but actually support, is
your opinion, because you know,
sure,
you know what it's all about. You've met these people.
Yes.
You know, you've got inside information, and you know, your credo is, why choose to believe when you can know?
Sure. So what we have happening is karmic. Karma has to play itself out. Otherwise, if God, the absolution or whatever anyone wants to deem this thing,
right,
this beautiful infinite possibility, everything plays out accordingly. If the spirit itself would flout the laws that holds everything into place, if the spirit would do that itself, everything in the universe would completely collapse. That being said, karma has to play itself out like a flower being blossomed. We don't just put the seeds in the ground and check the soil every day, because that would disturb the germinating cycle, just to hurry up the process.
Sure.
But also, if God is omnipresent, present in all places at all times, even in that victimhood situation where the woman was attacked by someone with a knife by her car when she came out of the grocery store.
Right.
If spirit is present in all places, why doesn't spirit just step in and stop it? But here's the paradox. If you had a God-realized man standing in the proximity of this event, he would stop it. So it's all about perspective. So what is it? Is it a this or is it the that? That's the point. It's not the this nor is it the that. It's the other thing. It's from the level of being the observer that creates one to have the capacity to see the truth. Now, what is the truth? No one can tell you, anyone, what the truth is, because the truth is not something that can use simple English words to put in a way to help one understand. It's very, very tough. It sounds like I'm being vague, but it's not. It's really tough to describe someone, Rob, the feeling you had being that guitarist in a band, right? And
but,
playing at those gigs.
Sure, I understand the logic behind this, but let's use your example of the seed in the ground. Now, as a gardener and as a farmer, people who are growing crops or growing fruit, vegetables, they know that in order to make something better, stronger, more fruitier, more resilient, they know how to grow it. They know what chemicals to add to the ground. They know how to prune the trees in a certain way or, how to take two branches to create a new fruit. They do this. So why can't the aliens or the creators do the same thing for those that they have created?
Point taken, and that's very beautifully said. So let's call these people that you described, these gardeners, these good farmers. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what these extraterrestrials and ultra-terrestrials, the angelic kingdom, are doing. They are good farmers. They are planting good seeds in the consciousness of people who are able to receive it, and even those who aren't. And they know how to till the ground, and they know how to water the plant so that a full human potential blossom begins to happen. So that's exactly what they're doing. They're doing just that. They are very good farmers, and they're bringing us to a level of fruition so we can become that new tree of life.
But it's taken them thousands and thousands and thousands of years. To me, that doesn't sound like they're very good farmers. Maybe they should change their fertilizer. Maybe they should. I don't know, but when I see all the trouble in the world, all the illness in the world, all the poverty, people without water, people who are suffering horrific diseases, man, you know, like I said, as a father, I go out of my way. I would do anything possible, not only for my kids, but for people in general, to make
their heart.
You know, so I understand the prime directive. Don't get me wrong. I used to watch Star Trek. However, there comes a time when they must step in, or else they are not who many people believe they are.
Sure. And I know that they would definitely do exactly just that. They will step in. If a nuclear warhead is fired off, they will step in and disarm it.
Well, let's hope we never find out. Keith, stand by. We've got to take our final break. ExoNation, Keith Anthony Blanchard is our special guest. He's the author of Homecoming, Crossing the Bridge to the Soul. And we'll be back as we wrap up this hour here in the X-Zone from our broadcast center and studios in Crystal Beach, Ontario, Canada. I'm Rob McConnell. Don't go away. Everyone, Keith Anthony Blanchard is our special guest. He is the author of a new book entitled Homecoming, Crossing the Bridge to the Soul. You know, we've heard stories from different alien abductees, Betty and Barney Hill, Travis Walton, and the list continues. How real or how true to the methodology that you are aware of that the ETs use to abduct or make contact with people, are these accounts that we keep hearing?
They're all true in some way or another, because whether they're true to anybody else, they're definitely absolutely true to the person who makes said claim. Now, let's just put aside anyone who is just jacking around. But people who are very sincere about what they say, at least they believe it themselves. Now, in and of it, that itself is a reality that one is completely submersing themselves in. So if God, if everything is possible all the time, everywhere, then this is a said reality. There are dimensional bandwidths, realities, possibilities, truths, falses, which is a truth in and of itself, that exist everywhere. So everyone is always shifting. We're shifting in fact, you just shifted just now. And by the words I use, you shifted just now because I hyper-focused you on the fact that you're shifting. And so we're always moving through this wormhole, this cosmic infinite wormhole through space at gazillion miles an hour. I think they're very true, Rob. I think they are very true. The Travis Walton story, they're very true. People are truly being taken beyond their will. Now, whether this is part governmental, deep state or black this and black that, or whether it's simply from an extraterrestrial or otherworldly phenomena, I believe they're all happening and it's all coming out. And we're living in this time where the veil is not only thinning, I think the door is completely cracked wide open.
Yeah.
And through that crack is coming the light, and the light is the truth. You may not like the truth. You can go tell your mom or your dad and they may not like it, and there's nothing they can do about it either. And so my suggestion would be for everyone to simply find themselves as that observer I mentioned earlier, which is the one who has the ability to be so cognizant, so aware of oneself, that you can simply pull back far enough esoterically and watch the movie as it unfolds in front of you. In fact, that's not only the best play. It's really the only choice you got.
But what happens if all these people are, who claim to be having contact, are just having self-imposed delusions that there is no contact and that this is their way of escaping the reality of the world that they just don't want to face exist, that they're looking for somebody or something to save them that isn't there?
Totally. That sounds true across the board. I mean, people would think of someone in a certain spiritual, new age, whatever movement, deem them crazy. It doesn't mean that myself or anyone who is a UFO contactee or believer, that their reality is truly their reality. And, you know, we would call some people like that delusional, to use your word. But, you know, I'm sure some, even my closest friends, might follow a lot of my work, but there's some level of some ground they don't dare tread or walk on. You know, Keith is a cool guy and he has some pretty cool things to say and yada, yada, yada. But this seems just so freaking far out. But that would be said, that would be true across the board. That would hold true for religion or for any cult and for any culture for that in that manner, because we all think in pods, we all think in groups. We're secular, we follow our own certain tribe, and everything beyond my tribe is not real as to why I'm only hanging out with these people.
Why did you say cult?
Well, because people often think of the word cult meaning demonic and devil and crazy and something that's just so taboo. I'm going to be in trouble if I even entertain the idea or hang out with said person because they're my friend and I just like that person, but I can't. Cult is not that. Cult is culture. Your religious upbringing, the place you live, your neighborhood, it's all cult. That's the derivative of the word cult. Culture. It's basically following one particular thought process or one mental model, a way of doing said thing or
so,
said
so
things.
So you're That's saying culture. Birds of a feather flock together.
Completely. You might see some geese hanging out with some mallards once in a while. But they...
So what is their final? What is their objective? What is their final objective? What is it that they plan to do?
You meaning the others?
Yeah, yeah. The you know the ETs.
The good others or the bad others? Let me address both. The bad others. It's obvious. It's taking place. Look out and about. Mm-hmm. You see it. It's happening. Those people, those beings, are not human. You may say, well, they're not human. Because human implies that I have humanity at my utmost interest. In fact, I'm a person of service. I love humanity, and I pray, hope to become the embodiment of heaven on earth myself. So those beings, though it may look like a human guise, I'm not saying they're cloaking themselves from their reptilian, adronian nature. By nature, they are not human because they're not moving in accordance and to the goal of a beautiful, unified, peaceful humanity. So they do occupy the earth space. Now, some of them have the ability to cloak themselves. We've seen all the videos on YouTube with certain people in royalty and this and that with the slanted eyes. Most of it is probably hogwash.
Oh, but now you're talking about David Icke.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But even in general, even if let's say there was 1 million videos on YouTube with the slanted-eyed, what's her name, the twerk young lady. It doesn't matter.
Come on.
I know
for a fact how easily it is to manipulate any video.
Sure,
I do it for a living.
But if there's only one, if there's only one out of the million, then it's true. But when it comes to the higher level extraterrestrial nature, that's exactly what it is. It's higher in nature. And they understand the higher nature, which is the law of unconditional love, acceptance, and allowance. I allow everything to be exactly as it is. So I have no need to change it, force it, mold it, manipulate it to be anything other than it is, because I see it as a beautiful unfoldment.
So let me understand this, because we're running out of time really fast. So are you saying that they love us so much that they will let us go hungry? They will let us be disease infested? They will let us kill each other in war?
I wouldn't necessarily use the word love. They know the law. And the law is unconditional love of acceptance, allowance, and appreciation, and to know when it's time to step into your space. When it comes to war, famine, all they can do is plant seeds. That's simply all they can do. Let's not hang this on the ET's shoulders. Let's go back to the Creator itself. How could you, Mr. or Mrs. Creator, with all your power and everything that you can do by simply just winking an eyelash in your eye?
But that's if you believe that that's how it happened.
Right. That would apply.
I hear a little bit of Catholicism coming into this conversation.
Yeah. Well, there is a source from which everything is generated. So instead of hanging it on the extraterrestrial shoulders, let's go back to the source itself.
Why did you do such a bad job? But if the ETs are the source, why are they then not doing what a source would do and improve the conditions or improve the model for which they created?
Sure. But if the ETs, what is the source of the ETs? The ETs are just those gardeners. In a single seed lies the potential of thousands, infinite forests. And so where do we trace this actual seed back to where? We trace it back to the tree of life itself and hang it on that branch. So these ETs learn how to understand that they're just merely a branch of the tree of life. And the tree of life, in order for it to survive, to exist for infinity, there are certain things that have to be done. And it's allowing the flower itself to naturally unfold. They don't stifle or influence themselves in such a way that bucks the cosmic current. It's just they just don't do it. They can't. In fact, they're bound to a code. They can't do it.
But who are they bound to this code with? If they are
the
creators,
the higher levels, I would say that from beyond the ETs that we would call extraterrestrials, now enter the celestials and the principalities and all the way back to the source of creation itself. So there's a law being enforced, to use a way of describing it, and followed. It can't be bucked. If you buck the current, rapids happen. What happens in the stream, any river that's moving, in the river of life, in the conscious river, the life consciousness stream, when we buck that current, trouble, turmoil, rapids begin to happen. There, I guess, like humanity, we're tired of getting our butt kicked.
Hey, Keith, I hate to do this, but our time has come up for tonight. I want to thank you very much for joining us. And Exo Nation, if you'd like to get more information about our guest this hour, www.keithanthonyblanchard.com. Now, I'll be back on the other side of this commercial break with the news at 6.5 minutes past the top of the hour as the X-Zone continues with yours truly, Rob McConnell, from our broadcast center and studios in Crystal Beach, Ontario, Canada. If you'd like to send me an email, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com, on all social media sites, X-Zone Radio TV. And for all the programming available on the X-Zone Broadcast Network, www.xzbn.net. I'm Rob McConnell. This is the X-Zone. Don't go away.